Hello, and welcome to Saga 50 for 50 on Heritage Bites, produced by Heritage Mississauga. 2024 marks the 50th anniversary since the incorporation of the town of Mississauga, Port Credit, and Streetsville to create the city we now know and love. In this special celebration of Mississauga, we invite you to join us as we walk down memory lane with 50 weeks of podcasts recounting incredible moments in this city's rich history. This is Saga 50 for 50.
Hello, and welcome to Saga 50 for 50. My name is Matthew Wilkinson, historian at Heritage Mississauga.
My name is Jamie Gaspar. Today, I invite you on a trip down Dundas Street in Mississauga.
As you go about your day, you may be unaware of the history that lies directly beneath your feet. This is a story of Dundas Street in Mississauga, one of the earliest surveyed routes of travel in the province of Ontario. Back then, if you didn't travel by water, you traveled by the Dundas. Also known as the Governor's Road, this nickname, however, was not a compliment. In the early 1800s, Dundas Street was a military road. Always in poor condition, a muddy track through the forest, covered in tree stumps. There were few, if any, bridges. Until the War of 1812, when the local militia maintained and improved the route. It's 1837. Imagine, a fugitive escaping by horse, hotly pursued by British soldiers. His name? William Lyon Mackenzie. Mackenzie fled the burning of Montgomery's Tavern. He crossed Etobicoke Creek near the former village of Somerville. On his first night, he was sheltered at the house of Absalom Wilcox, the worthy settler. Eventually, he escaped to the United States. This is Dundas Street, once home to Parton's Blacksmith Shop, the Atlantic Hotel, and St. Patrick's Roman Catholic Church. This is Dundas Street at Dixie Road, named after beloved Dr. Beaumont Dixie. This is Dundas Street, where you'll find heritage landmarks like Dixie Union Chapel and St. John the Baptist Anglican Church, where you'll learn about the Dixie Beehives, a hockey team that played at Dixie Gardens Arena, the first indoor ice rink in Mississauga, and where early families like Pallet, Stanfield, Kennedy, and Haynes are commemorated in road names. Home of the Mississauga Chinese Center, one of North America's most remarkable tourist destinations, where you'll discover fascinating architectural history and traditions of ancient China. Where Cherry Hill House stood on a hill. Some say it's Mississauga's oldest surviving structure. Built by the Silverthorns, United Empire Loyalists, and one of the earliest settling families in the township. They named it Cherry Hill after the rows of cherry trees which line the driveway from gate to barn. This is Dundas Street, where you'll find the community of Cooksville, named after Jacob Cook. Today, a busy area with a mix of historical buildings and strip malls, always bustling with pedestrians. Historically, the business and political center of Toronto Township. This spot was known for the local general store where Mississauga's first gas pump was installed. This is Dundas Street, where Mississauga's town hall used to be, and once home to Canada's first commercial vineyard, Clare House. If you look closely, you can still find wild grapes. This is Dundas Street, where Italian immigrants worked tirelessly at the Cooksville Brickyard. This is Dundas Street. You're at the top of the ancient shoreline of glacial Lake Iroquois, where you pass Arendale Station Road, so named as it led to an early railway line. This is Dundas Street, which curves southward slightly as it crosses the Credit River. The original S-turn served a purpose for horse and wagons to navigate the elevation. This is Dundas Street, where an accidental fire raged through the village of Arendale in 1919, caused by a lit match which dropped into a bottle of kerosene in the Barker General Store. This fire wiped out most of Arendale's historic buildings, including the famed Royal Exchange Hotel. Along the route, you'll pass St. Peter's Anglican Church and a Regency-style cottage called The Grange, once a summer home of Chief Justice Sir John Beverley Robinson. This is Dundas Street, where two roads identified as West intersect, remnants of a survey from 1806, where the hamlet of Frogmore was named after the birthplace of Queen Victoria, or the frogs that could be heard at a nearby marsh. This is Dundas Street, so many stories, Mississauga's heritage, and where history lies directly beneath your feet.
There was a debate over the possible renaming of Dundas Street here in the city of Mississauga, but City Council made the decision not to pursue renaming. The discussion around the name allowed for the exploration of the road's history, the broader story of Henry Dundas, and the complicated legacies of colonial history. It is my pleasure to welcome Omar Elshar-Carway. He's a graduate student from the University of Toronto, Mississauga, and in the past, he has explored colonial place names on our landscape as an internship project with us here at Heritage Mississauga. You might remember Omar from previous episode of Ask a Historian from earlier in 2021, but today we're going to explore a specific topic within the idea of colonialism on the landscape, and that relates to the place name of Dundas Street in Mississauga and the recent decision by City Council to keep the name. So thank you, Omar, for joining us here on Ask a Historian.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
I know... we had so much, fun's the wrong word, we had so much of an interest in exploring the research that you undertook into colonial place names, but also just the what it means on the landscape from a memory perspective of a nomenclature, and it was just a fascinating look. I encourage, as an aside, I encourage anyone to go back and look at that previous episode. We'll share the link for that, but also your article series on colonial connections, and we can share the link for that. It appeared in Modern Mississauga magazine. But here we are specific in just in early February, the City Council for the City of Mississauga made a resolution to kind of end the debate around the naming or renaming of Dundas Street in Mississauga. And so I thought we'd reconvene our thoughts here to kind of explore that concept. And maybe we start off with really a simple one for those kind of new to the discussion is, you know, what is the history of Dundas Street itself as a road, as a name on the landscape?
Well, I'm happy you asked, Matthew. Dundas Street is one of the most interesting roads that we have that cuts across Mississauga and in Ontario in general, because it's one that's very deeply rooted in the early history of Canada's development, especially in the development of Ontario and Upper Canada as a settler colonial landscape. Dundas Street, as it comes to exist, I like to think of it as sort of like a twofold imprint on the landscape, a very social and physical imprint in both senses, because the name comes about in the 1790s, and it's named, interestingly enough, by John Grief Simcoe, who at the time is the governor of Upper Canada, and of course he comes in during a very formative period in the development of Upper Canada and Ontario as a settler colony. There's a lot of settlement that's happening around this time period in general. There's a lot of development in terms of infrastructure, military infrastructure, fears of an American invasion. And so Dundas is envisioned as part of a new system of highways that Simcoe is putting into place, both to enhance trade and also to enhance the military infrastructure at the time, given the fact there was paranoia around an American invasion. And Dundas was seen as along with its counterpart roads like Yonge, as a rather important artery for both military affairs and for trade. And so the road comes in place in the 1790s. And when it's put in, it's a major highway, one of the biggest roads that's put into Upper Canada at the time. And interestingly enough, it displaces the landscape in two senses, a social sense, because the name Dundas itself, of course, reflects the naming preference of Simcoe and of the sort of British governing caste at the time. By choosing a name, the namesake, of course, being for Henry Dundas, who at the time was a part of the British cabinet, rather high up in the sort of political sphere in metropolitan Britain. And so his name is chosen to sort of reflect the, you know, loyalist and British and Anglophone leanings of the colony itself, of course. And then there's the fact that Dundas Street, when it comes into being, also happens to replace a lot of Indigenous roads too. Because before Dundas Road, there were a lot of trails that, and even for a time after Dundas Street was put into place, those trails were preferred when it came to trade and transportation. And they were Indigenous trails. And of course, today, for us, they're rather nameless. And if anything, that's reflective of the power that Dundas Street had, because once it was put into place, it was meant to sort of compete with those roads. And of course, it ended up just along with the entire settler tide in Ontario ended up winning out. And today, it still stands as one of the most significant roads in Ontario.
So you have this, compete is one term, I hadn't thought of it in those realms, but Dundas becomes, as a result of this construction of the land on the landscape, it becomes the highest route of transportation, if you will, in terms of a priority, and then supersedes all that came before it. So I know one of the fascinating things, and I don't know if you've had the chance to do this yet, but I've loved doing it in time, is you can travel largely the historic route itself today on the landscape. We know it through our community as Highway 5, and different parts becomes Governor's Road and Highway 2, and then Highway 99 all the way to Paris, Ontario. And you can trace the route of Dundas Street right to Woodstock and eventually on to London, Ontario, which was at one point Simcoe's intended capital of Upper Canada. But you know, here in Mississauga, it is our oldest route of traveled transportation. Essentially, everything in our historic landscape as it evolved was either north or south of Dundas Street. That was the division point on the landscape. And so you have this layered history, right? Like you can't take Dundas out of the context of the development that came around it and upon it, and so it's tied in so many ways, including just the mentality of interacting with the landscape. It becomes I guess the vernacular, right? Like people, how many people even at the time knew it was Henry Dundas? It was Dundas Street, right? Like this is the, so I mean, you have these, I know in your research with this, you know, things get named for a reason, and you just explored in brief the reason behind the naming. But it has a larger imprint on the mentality behind the decisions that are being made. And I think part of that comes to fore in kind of Dundas Street as being a flashpoint of controversy today. Although that argument isn't necessarily a new one, it certainly has come to the fore. Can you describe a little bit, I know you went into this a little bit more detail in your article series, but just describe a little bit about the controversy that is upon us and how that is born through examination of names.
Certainly, I think Dundas as a flashpoint is very fascinating because the controversy itself revolves around the most visible aspect of the road, and that's the name that it bears, of Henry Dundas. Even though we don't really know if Henry Dundas himself actually ever knew that a road was actually named after him in Upper Canada. The name was chosen, of course, because of sort of Simcoe's own, you know, attachment and ties to Britain socially. But also it reflected a very personal preference because he had somewhat of a political friendship with Dundas as well. A lot of other names that he chose mimicked that as well. He had correspondences and he sent letters back and forth to him as well. But today, the controversy as it stands is less about the origin of the road name itself and how Simcoe put it into place and the history it's attached to it, more around Dundas, the figure himself. And there's been some ambiguity around it, but really here in Ontario, in many ways, we can, I think, see Dundas as just not one controversy, but part of the string of other controversies, of course, because there's many road names. And as we grow to kind of challenge and revise the sort of history of Canada and examine its settler history and scrutinize it more closely, these conversations begin to surface. And it's very much, as you said before, a global tide, not just something that happens in Canada. And in Canada, even when it does occur, it occurs along a number of other roads, like Jarvis Street, for example, in Toronto is another notable one. Dundas being one in that string, though, in particular, focuses on the figure of Henry Dundas. And the controversy, as I understand it, focuses around his history as it relates to the obstruction of abolition. But again, it's a rather ambiguous history in its own right, too, because it revolves less around, it's not as clear cut as, say, something with Jarvis, because with Jarvis Street, the controversy is around the fact that Jarvis was part of those early upper Canadians who had slaves, who was very much vested in the institution of slavery. And in the early debates around whether or not slavery would be preserved in Upper Canada, he was sort of on part of the cadre, the group. That still wanted to preserve the institution, especially for American migrants coming after the American Revolution. But Dundas was more so around the slave trade and abolition, and what's viewed as his role in the obstruction of the abolition of the slave trade. And that's really the root of the controversy itself, is around Dundas Street, the more visible aspect of the name, rather than really the historical background of the renaming itself. But in the end, when you do examine the road, the aspect that sticks out, the roads only tell us about, you know, their subject, who they're named after. And as commemorative instruments, they are very much a spatialization of memory. So it doesn't bear the name of Simcoe, and it doesn't bear the name of someone who was an early settler in Upper Canada's period. And so that's why when the controversy and the flashpoint happens around Dundas and its name, it's not around that in particular, because that's not the visible component of it. It's more so that Dundas is attacked or sort of criticized, rather, I would say is a better term. Dundas is criticized more so as, rather, I guess, as I said before, spatialization, preservation of the memory of Dundas in particular, and a particularly large spatialization of that, because it's a very major road.
You know, one of in the examination of our colonial past, you know, a certain amount of attention gets paid to individuals like Sir John Graves Simcoe, yes, as our first lieutenant governor. Although with his 1793 Act for the gradual ending of slavery in Upper Canada, although you know, really a compromise legislation at the time to kind of achieve his aims towards abolition in a gradual process to appease really the elected officials of the time, who were largely slave owners themselves, like the Jarvis family. You kind of see this compromise solution, but John Graves Simcoe is very much, I guess, applauded or remembered well for this kind of first step towards abolition in the British Empire, or at least here in Upper Canada. But his decisions upon naming don't kind of get, you'd have to think if someone like Henry Dundas were that steadfast against the abolition of slavery, which we know really from historical documents is not necessarily the case. But then you'd have to, you kind of give a little bit of credence to the fact that Simcoe named this in honor of somebody who probably shared his beliefs in some capacity. And so, you know, looking at the landscape in the sense of the context of its time, you know, it's perhaps the easy process is to look at Dundas in today's values in terms of its place name. And I'm not meaning to belittle anyone who might be offended by the term itself or by the name itself, but looking at it in the context of the time in which it was named, both Dundas and Simcoe were very much tied to the compromises of politics of the day, despite the fact that they sought to see the abolition take place. It was, you know, several generations away before it actually came into the fore. But, you know, you're looking at the place names on the landscape, you know, in your focus point, we see the controversies around colonialism, settler mentality. We look at it in Indigenous erasure. We can look at it in terms of early racial relations, et cetera. Why do you think Dundas has become the focal point that it has become. Like, we know that there's conversations around Jarvis Street. We understand that. But it hasn't reached the fervor at a, say, national or cross-municipal level that Dundas Street has. I mean, Dundas Street, we know, traverses multiple municipalities, and there's lots of conversations around, let alone the town itself named Dundas. Why is it Dundas has become that much of a linchpin? You may have already answered that in a bit, but I thought I'd ask that in a clear sense. Why Dundas gets the blame?
Of course. In a way to say why the controversy itself has emerged is hard to say in particular. But with Dundas Street, it probably has a lot to do with his, again, his prominence as a figure and the prominence of the road itself and the fact that it cuts through so many communities. And as we said before, it's part of a wider move towards the revision of these histories in particular as well. Why the figure of Dundas himself, I think, as we touched, it's probably because of his role in obstruction, as you said, and his ties to the politics of that period. But at the same time, there's a lot of ambiguities for why he in particular, rather than say someone like Jarvis, who's more visibly controversial, would get the blame. So it's hard to say, as one would say, why Dundas Street itself is the target. I think a great degree of it, though, has to also do, as I said before, with the specialization of that memory, because Dundas Street is very significant. It's a very old road. It's one of the greatest, largest roads in Ontario, right? It's here in Mississauga, for example, it's one of the most prominent roads in the local community, even though it runs through so many other towns as well, right? Including Toronto, where it's also a significant road too. But in road naming, we generally also consider that it might seem rather simple, but the bigger a road is, the larger road is, the longer the road is, the more prominent road is. Dundas is certainly very prominent and a rather long and large road. The more emphasis that's placed on the preservation of that memory in particular. So I really think it's the presence of it, how significant it is within the social landscape of Ontario, that especially seemed to attract a lot of controversy. There's certainly a lot of smaller roads in Mississauga and Toronto that have names that evoke controversy, but they don't get as many discussion, perhaps because they're not as significant, they're not as broad in their specialization.
I've heard it spoken about, and it comes to mind in the sense of renaming of things, that a name on a landscape, a place name, allows for discussion around kind of its historic origins and what it means, and that there is potentially a danger or worry about renaming disconnects you from the story of a place, the story of a name, and therefore the reasons behind its naming and a discussion around what it means. And so, do you think there is that worry about, if communities were to seek renaming, that you lose an opportunity to explore some of those deeper topics? In the case of Dundas Street, around the nature of slavery and the abolition of slavery, is there a worry about a modern sense of erasure on our historic landscape?
Absolutely. I would absolutely say so. On the one hand, I would say that I appreciate what the enterprise of renaming can aspire towards, because it wants to sort of correct representation in the public landscape, and it wants to rectify who's been excluded and who's been, who's been excluded and who's been included within the landscape in general, to try and especially represent those who have been erased from, the history that's been etched on the dirt and tarmac of the landscape itself. But on the other, I absolutely think that keeping those names, especially in a place like Mississauga, can be a touch point for very important conversations, especially, as I said before, to the least visible aspect of the history of the road name. But Dundas especially, I think that what's especially valuable is understanding its history, not just as it relates to the figure of Dundas, as a commemoration of Dundas, but what it says about this early period of settler development in Canada, what it says about John Grief Simcoe, what it says about the politics of settlement and indigeneity as they happened in the 1790s, in these formative years of development in Ontario and Upper Canada at the time. And I think keeping those roads can allow for an opportunity To discuss and appreciate those histories further and to promote an education. And especially, as I said, in a place like Mississauga, you know, a place that's very suburban, that you very much get the impression of newness and as if the place almost seems like it has no history because it's new. So of course, we know through Heritage of Mississauga, we know that's absolutely not the case. Mississauga has a very rich history, but that fabric isn't always visible. And Dundas Street is one of those touch points that's still very much visible, that still very much connects Mississauga and the rest of Ontario to this past history of settlement that we may not always see, or that you can only find maybe in textbooks or museums, but not on the landscape itself, especially within a suburban space.
Well, one of the, I use this line a lot in my community presentations, and I would say, if you want to touch history in Mississauga, go for a drive on Dundas Street. Honestly, you talk about, you know, I talk about the term a lot of, you know, walking in the footsteps of our past, or driving in the wagon wheels of our past. I don't know what the right terminology, but the oldest thing on our landscape, in kind of an everyday connection sense, is the road. You know, there's no building that predates the road itself. The only thing that older than the road are perhaps some archaeological finds in the natural landscape itself, the Credit River and so on. But, you know, here is Dundas Street, a fixture on our landscape as a right of way since the mid 1790s, and is still on our landscape today. That's a remarkable way to connect to that idea of passage of time and layers in time. We can look back at the, you know, early pictures from around 1900 or so, and Dundas Street is there, and people are standing on it, people are traveling on it, and had been at that point for over 100 years. It's a remarkable story when you look back at our collective history.
Absolutely. Dundas Street is most certainly a theater of history in this saga in many ways. Really, a crucial vein in the community. And I think, and I agree that its preservation, I think, does a lot of service to understanding the history. We may not agree with Dundas Street and what it represents and what its history represents and what it goes back towards. And we can certainly revise and have discussions around them. But the crucial part is maintaining the road itself, especially because when we begin to have conversations around renaming, which in the abstract are valuable, once they enter the circuit of official renaming, practically, the conversations begin to lose their history. They begin to be conversations around sentimentality, which these are still things that are valuable, of course, but they can be conversations around sentimentality, not just, you know, the history of the road itself, but what that road means to people, what the name means, without considering its history altogether, or administrative considerations of whether or not, you know, the road is, whether or not it's worth actually paying the money to have the road renamed and have the signage replaced and have the addresses replaced. And so preserving it, I think, is the most important way to preserve the also the dialogues that are adjacent to what we have around its history. Because we can lose sight of those when renaming starts to leave conversations and it starts to actually enter, you know, the city halls and the bureaucratic processes and begin to consider them.
You know, I had never thought of the term theater in connection to, I love that sentiment you just said, the, you know, theater on the landscape in terms of this ability to use the street as an anchor in our stories and talk about the life that plays out along its course is a remarkable concept. I love it. I'm gonna try and start using that idea. So you have in this process around renaming, this obviously has come down to a municipal decision and multiple municipalities are making decisions for their own. Dundas Street, of course, stretches across multiple municipalities. So there are lots of decisions that are being made around its naming and its, I guess, its future planning and the like. What do recent municipal decisions and, you know, the community pushback against the renaming of Dundas Street reflect about the process of renaming itself?
Yeah, that's a really valuable question to consider, especially given the, you know, recent pertinent news about renaming Dundas Street. And as I said before, I think when renaming begins to become a more official conversation, that's when you will have aspects of sentimentality that begin to come into place, right? When it's rather normal for people to argue for the preservation of a road name that we can view as, you know, prone to criticism and problematic, because the basis on which they contest the renaming isn't because they want to preserve you know, the name of Dundas Street in particular, or that they want to preserve the memory of Dundas. But it just could be that they want to preserve something that they, as you said, they see as an anchor on the landscape, something that they have sentimental connections to, something that they see as part of the identities of the city. Dundas, in many ways, begins in those conversations. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it begins to lose the connection it has to its history, and it begins to become sort of a community-rooted name. We begin to forget who Henry Dundas is in the first place. And in many ways, I wonder if you ask most people if they know who Dundas Street is named after, if they'd be able to respond to that. If they're not, then that's probably an indication of how the name has transcended its origin, transcended its history, and entered into the realm of sentimentality purely.
The, you know, sentiment can be certainly valuable in place naming and place making, and the idea of having a rooted connection to your community. And like you said, I don't think that is without a strength in the argument either, in terms of just creating a sense of place and a pride in that place and a value in that place. And so, you know, Dundas is probably getting into another one of those examples where, you know, how many people reflect on the name here, Ontario, and what that means, and its origins. It becomes a place name. It becomes a part of the vernacular discussion rather than reflections on origin. I think many of our old roots, our historic roots, can have those links on our landscape. So when you look at, you know, Dundas Street, we now know our City of Mississauga Council has said that there'll be no more consideration given to the renaming of Dundas Street. Of course, their only control is within the City of Mississauga itself. Of course. And I suppose, you know, another council down the road could always reverse decision and open up a discussion again. But, you know, in a broad sense, Mississauga has put its foot down, put its line in the sand, and says, okay, this is what we're going to do moving forward. You know, what does that say in the sense, in terms of Mississauga's connection to the exploration of its landscape and to a connection to place? Can this be used as a community building exercise in that sense, in terms of place naming?
I absolutely think so. The fact that Dundas Street reached the sort of the echelons of the official circuit of the city, and that's become considered in that way, is I think fascinating unto itself, because it elevates the conversation to official levels, first of all, which is nice. But even when you consider the fact that the decision was made against the renaming of Dundas Street, that's not necessarily a bad thing, especially with the review policy that they've put in place. Because now that Dundas Street has been sort of, now that there's been conversations that have been had in the official circuit, now that's been elevated sort of to, you know, the realm of public consciousness and public policy in that way through the city's decision, while at the same time closing conversations around officially renaming it. It's interesting because that means we can still have conversation around the history of the road name and around the history of road names in general, because that becomes a topic that's now, you know, at the forefront of the public mind, without necessarily having to consider sort of the administrative implications of renaming itself. And I think that's what the decision that the city of Mississauga arrived at. I think that's kind of the silver lining that we've reached, especially if you consider the review policy, which while it doesn't guarantee that renaming is going to take place, in many ways it also opens a window to have further conversations around our landscape, around the names that are embedded within it, around the histories and controversies that are present within it.
I think we'd all agree that you do not want things on your landscape that necessarily reflect negatively on your community identity and your community memory. But I think there's enough in the name of Dundas Street from the discussions that have been both public and held in governmental circles to suggest this isn't a black and white story. This is not a black and white issue. There's lots of shades of discussion here. And the bigger realm here is that, like I said, it's entered that realm of sentimentality. There is sufficient ambiguity around the motives and intent around the abolition of the slave trade, as well as Simcoe's methodology behind the naming itself, to suggest that there is value in keeping the name. that can indeed be used as a conversation point to strengthen community connectedness and community awareness. So from an education perspective, I certainly applaud that. And I think cooler heads perhaps prevail at times. And like I said, there was significant community pushback as well in terms of keeping the names. Perhaps we didn't think that enough of that, of what residents themselves would feel around a particular issue. So, you know, on that, I think that's a very positive point to end on. Is it kind of any last thoughts around the keeping of the name of Dundas Street, of things that we should reflect on in terms of the retention of the name and our landscape moving forward of connecting to people in place?
Well, absolutely. I mean, something in particular to consider is, just because this decision has arrived the way it did, does not mean the conversations around Dundas are over. It does not mean the conversations around street names are necessarily over by any measure. And as I said before, the review policy still very much encourages that we have those conversations, that we keep striking them up. And just because Dundas isn't going to be renamed doesn't necessarily close sort of our criticisms and revision of Dundas and its identity in general and the history of the road itself or conversations around it. If anything, I think it ought to invigorate more conversations around the subject in particular, especially now that we've, in a way, rid ourselves kind of the burden of having to consider the official, angles of renaming. Because as I said, renaming is very much administrative. It's not necessarily something that's when it begins to leave the abstract realm, it begins to become a practical problem. It begins to become a bureaucratic problem. And when there's community pushback, that can be because of aspects, that can be because of expressions of sentimentality, right? Not necessarily around the discourse of the road itself, right? It's responding to the official sort of want to rename the roads. But now that we have, I think, the abstract conversation, we can begin to just discuss these histories and begin to understand and unravel them and, bring new perspectives and ideas and still work on revising other roads other than Dundas themselves, because there certainly are plenty of social landscapes that are still in need of those same debates as well, right? We can begin to examine all those things without having to, shoulder the burden or consider the process of renaming itself. And we can really begin to recenter public education as the main objective of renaming.
And that itself is a most valuable exploration to have on our landscape, on any landscape of who and how we remember, and open that dialogue for broader education is remarkable. It helps with that idea of connected to place, pride in place, a rootedness on the landscape. All those things are positive community building tools, and so I look forward to seeing this discussion become one of those community building tools in terms of engagement and connectedness. Absolutely. To the landscape. So on that, we applaud the city of Mississauga and their decision with the to end the debate around Dundas Street, and we could move forward into more constructive conversations amongst them, including a review of potentially other place names as well. And so on that, Omar, thank you so much for joining us. You're a wealth of knowledge, and your passion comes through. I thank you for all the work you've done on colonial place names in our city, but look forward to future collaborations with you as well. So thank you for joining us here at
Ashton. Thank you, as do I. Thank you very much.
And thank you for everyone for spending some time with us. Join us each and every week as we explore different stories around history and our community here in Mississauga.
Thank you for listening to Saga 50 for 50.
Until next time.
We hope you enjoyed this week's installment of Saga 50 for 50. Help us keep celebrating the 50th anniversary of the city of Mississauga by following Heritage Bites wherever you get your podcasts. Also, be sure to check out Heritage Mississauga on all our social media platforms and follow hashtag Saga50for50 to stay up to date on all of Mississauga's 50th anniversary celebrations. This is Heritage Mississauga signing off. Until next time.